This is Victory House.
Okay, let's go into the Word of God this morning. Open your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. I will read from verse 7 to 16. 1 Kings 17, verse 7 to 16. And I'd like to say thank you to all the people that God used while we were not around. God always used them. Amen. If you serve in any department, thank you. You know, it's always a good thing when you travel, if you're part of a church and everything is still running. That's a good sign. Amen. And that means that God is the one doing the work, not you. But if you have to travel and then your neck, you are breaking your neck. You know, I didn't even call the people when I was over there. Oh, how did church go today? Did you, were we able to pay the rent? Were we able to, everything ran as if I was, you know, in town. Because really, we don't run things here. God runs everything. Amen? Amen. So 1 Kings 17, 7 to 16. Sometime later, the brook dried up. Because there had been no rain in the land. I declare over somebody listening to me this morning, where there has been no rain, there will be rain in the name of Jesus. Maybe it's in your womb, but there will be rain in the name of Jesus. Maybe it's in your account, there will be rain in the name of Jesus. Because there is no rain may mean that something that should be present is lacking. Some people, it's a spouse. By now, there should be rain, but it's not there. Some people, it's a job. By ordinary calculation of things, you should have a job now. Some people, it's a child. By ordinary administration of things, you should have a child now. But I say in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, the God who is the rainmaker himself, he will show up on your behalf in the name of Jesus. So this morning, I want to talk about what I call, there it is. Not somebody and tell them, say, there it is. Okay, so we're reading 1 Kings 17 from verse 7. So sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. The word of God is coming to somebody this morning. Amen. And it will change your story in the name of Jesus. Amen. And the word said, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. I have directed a widow to supply you with food. Verse 10. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may drink? Let me read this version so that we're on the same page. As she was going to get it, he called and said, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. That's a very interesting man of God. Amen. If it is in 2018 now, they would have put it on Instagram. That man of God defrauds widow. Takes her last meal. Her last breaking news. You know, it's not like CNN. They always break news every time. Somebody said, this news should have broken since all these days. You have been breaking it every day. So by now, there should be nothing to break again. The news should have been broken completely. As surely as the Lord God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. I have come to tell somebody you won't die. Amen. I have come to tell somebody you won't drown. Amen. Because some people think, I'm going to drown. God sent me this morning with just one simple message that I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? You will not drown. Amen. I am not trying to excite you. It's this clear word of God. That's the only thing I have come to say this morning. You will not drown. Amen. Verse 13, he says, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Can I say to somebody this morning, don't be afraid? Can you let me announce it to your friends? Say, don't be afraid. Look at another person, tell them, say, don't be afraid. Say, go home and do as you have said. But first, somebody say first. Make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. Verse 14. For this is what the Lord, God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. I thought somebody would say amen. Amen. And the jug of oil will not run dry. Amen. Until the day the Lord sends rain in the land. Amen. 15 says, she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up. And the jug of oil did not run dry. In keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. This morning I am telling somebody, the jug of oil will not run dry and the jar of flour will not be used up. In the name of Jesus. In this story that we just read, we can learn a few things that I'll just run through and then we'll pray. One of the things that you need to be reminded of is that hard times are not new things. Hard times are not new things. Oh, that things are not enough, that things are going funny, that there's this problem there or here. They are not new things. It's like a cycle. There will be one cycle that will come. Things will seemingly be hard. In fact, God did not promise that because you know him, things will not be hard. Because sometimes some people, when things happen to them, the first thing they ask is that, why? The first thing they are wondering is that, why me? Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, in this world, you will face issues. In this world, there will be problems. Jesus himself said it in John chapter 16 and verse 33. John 16, 33. Jesus said, in this world, you will face tribulations. In this world, there will be issues. In this world, there will be trouble. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or not. It doesn't matter if you prayed in the morning or not. Because sometimes when bad things happen, some people always think that it is because God is not there. It is because I have done something. Oh, maybe because I did not pray. Maybe because I have not fasted all the fasting. Amen? Amen. And how is that going? Amen? Amen. I know somehow we should have gotten to 21. But if you have not gotten to 21, there's still some days. Amen? To catch up. But some people may begin to say, well, maybe because I didn't fast as many days, I didn't pray that loud when I came to church. They said we should dance. Because I didn't dance, that's why the car broke down, you know. And they start having all kind of issues, all kind of questions. But can I tell you the truth? The devil doesn't have a free day. The devil doesn't have a day where he says, well, now I will just leave you alone. Every time he's going about looking for whom to devour. So the fact that there's trouble does not make anything. It is part of life. It is normal with life. Hard times are things that happen and that happen even to the children of God. Even to the people that have God in their life. Even to the people that have not sinned. Because some people always associate hard times with sin. Now, I know that sin can bring hard times. But you see, it is not always all the case. It is not always the issue that hard times happen because of sin. So sometimes hard times just come like part of the season. So that's why I've come to tell somebody that this very hard season will soon pass away. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. You need to remember one thing about hard time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. He said, there is no temptation that has come upon you that is not common to man. So first of all, temptations or hard times are common. And let me tell you, I've said this here before. One way to frustrate the devil is not to specialize or magnify what he's doing. The devil doesn't like it. The devil wants to do something. He wants to do something for you. And he wants you to feel the brunt. He wants you to feel like, wow, my day is so bad. My life is so terrible. He wants you to have this pity party. He wants you to have, you know, he wants you to feel sorry. He wants you to feel like, wow, it's only me. All my mates have given birth. All my mates are riding this kind of car. All my mates have houses. All my mates. The devil wants to make you feel like what is happening to you is simple. It's just only for you. It's unique to you. But if you want to break his back, let him know that it's common. Let him know that it's common. Because when you commonize it, the pressure reduces. One of the things that the devil wants to do is that makes you focus on that problem as if it's only you. For example, many people don't get bogged down if they sweat because they know other people are sweating. Sweating is not always convenient and comfortable, especially if you are in a weather like Nigeria sometimes. My kid will say, I'm sweating. I'm like, relax, this is home. They say, I want to go back. This is also home, amen. I know you didn't know this home before, but this is the original home. So some of this discomfort, like sweat, for example, it is common to man. If you are sweating, I hope there is somebody that will sweat now and start feeling very bad. I hope you are thinking, well, I mean, it's the hot weather, everybody is sweating, right? Now, because you know that it's like that, but if that same sweat happens in winter, you know, when Chicago is sub-zero, you start getting worried. That why am I sweating when everybody is cold? Why am I sweating and I'm not wearing jacket? I'm under the winter and I'm sweating. Something is wrong. So then you begin to get worried. But when you sweat when other people are sweating, you don't get too worried. You think it's normal. That's how you should look at trouble. When you see trouble, look at it as normal. Sometimes even smile at it, because when there is temptation, that's opportunity for elevation. I know that that thing that is happening to you, God wants to use you for your promotion. If that's you, will you say a bigger amen?
Amen.
So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, God said that the temptation that has happened to you, God will provide a way of escape. There is a way out. Whenever we come into hard places, whenever we come into places where we don't know what to do, I want you to believe this. There is a way out. I may not know that way, but there is a way out. Never ever join the devil to say, no, there is no way out. Never ever join the devil to chorus the thing that he wants you to chorus. I am finished. I am done. No. Because what the devil meant for an end, God will turn to a bend. What the devil turned to a full stop, God will turn to comma and continue the sentence. If that's your story, will you say a big amen?
Amen.
So the woman told Elijah in verse 7, he said, we really don't have much. We are going to die. The end has come. And the devil is telling some people too, like that. The end has come. Things will not really change. Things will always go like this. You know, what has been will always be. It's not true. Things change. Seasons change. I mean, I was at the Holy Ghost service. There was a man that came to testify. His wife had been married 23 years. The 24th year, they had their baby. The 24th year. I met the lady. I had to give her a seed. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, as I give you this seed, everyone that I know that needs baby, they get their own too.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. I don't need babies again, but I want more babies. Amen. Church people need to give birth to babies. So don't think that I'm looking for baby. I'm done. Anybody that wants me to have baby, back to sender. But when I, 24 years. In fact, when I saw the woman, she's a grandmother in Luke. But you see, God can still bypass biology. God knows that she's old, but that does not stop God. So God said that even in that temptation, there is a window of escape. You will find it. You will find the window of escape. In the name of Jesus. So in this story, we saw that hard times came. First of all, hard time came for Elijah. Elijah was in a place before. He was at the brook of Cherith, where birds were feeding him, ravens were feeding him. And the Bible said the brook dried up. The brook dried up. The brook that God told him to go, the brook dried up. That means that sometimes there are some things God does for a season. Don't get hung up on the things God has done for a season or is doing for a particular reason. Because the season of that thing may end, but God never ends. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
So when the season of a thing ends, another good season will start for you. And I see that season starting for somebody.
Amen.
If you will believe it, say bigger amen.
Amen.
So there was a season of hardship, but that didn't mean anything. The season of hardship was not meant to drown them. The season of hardship was not meant to finish them. The season of hardship was not meant to make anything happen that was not supposed to that was not supposed to lead into testimony. That process was a process of God that needed to end in testimony. And I've come to encourage somebody, this thing that is happening to you is a process of God that will lead to great testimony. In the name of Jesus. Now in verse 8, the Bible said, the word of God came unto Elijah. In every hard season, one of the most important thing you can get is the word of God. Is the word of God. That's why coming to church is not optional. That's why hanging around the word of God is not optional. We don't hang around the word of God to check mark our list of to-dos. No. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That means that existing on earth really is not only based on natural nutrition. There is a dimension of nutrition for your existence that is not natural, that is not physical, that is not carbohydrate, that is not protein, that is the word of God. We live by the word of God. We have our being by the word of God. The word of God has an effect on our lives, even when that word of God does not look like it is for you, so to say. There was a season in my life we would play a Christian online station overnight. And do you know that sometimes in my dream, I will be dreaming of what they are saying? Or maybe I'll be hearing what they are saying in my dreams. So that means the word of God can travel out of the natural, because that word is spirit, and it can enter into the supernatural and correct things in the supernatural. And you know, when things are corrected in the spirit, the physical will always catch up, because the physical is always playing catch up with the spirit, because the spirit is far, far ahead of the physical. So that is why you come around the word of God. That's why you come to church. That is why when it is time for the word of God, you pay attention. Even if it's one word, even if it's a small boy that's speaking, because one word from God will change everything. Amen. It was words that God used to create. This old word was created by words. So the word of God is potent. The Bible calls it sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is better than any ballistic missile. The word of God is harder than nuclear weapons. Don't mind Kim Jong-un and our president once in a while when they talk about nuclear weapons. There is something greater than nuclear weapon. It is the word of God. It can create. It can permeate into the spirit. It can enter into places where human things cannot enter into. And I know that word is coming to you, entering into places, entering into your system, entering into your physical life, entering into your family life, entering into your financial life, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the word of God came. My prayer for you this week is that the word will come. Amen. Because if a man has one word from God, it can change everything. And don't get me wrong. When you come to church like this, you hear the word of God. But sometimes there is a word for you. There is one word. I don't know if you have been there before. Suddenly God sends you something. It may just be go. It may just be go. That's your word. It may just be go. Several years ago, I was wondering, God, what do I do in church? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And God just led me to my dad's library. That's what used to happen to me back in those days, you know, when I'm believing God for something. God would just lead me to my dad's library, and then I would run into a tape, a book, or something. And sometimes I would just be in that library in front of the shelf, open the book like this, and flip, and I would land on the exact thing I need to hear. So that's what I did that day. There was this big Bible that had commentary and all of that. As I flipped through it, I just landed on the story of Moses, where God told Moses that Moses should go and speak for him, and that when Moses was now making excuses, and God said, that's you. I have told you, go and speak for me. And my own excuse would be, I cannot speak. And God said, I know. I had that all figured out. And that was the word from me. It was that word that brought about today. The reason I'm standing before you today is because that word came there. Because God told me, do this. Go and be part of Sunday school department. And I did. And that's how I moved to where I am today. I'm believing God for somebody. That word that will move you to the next level is coming to you right now in the name of Jesus. So the Bible said the word came to Elijah. And then in verse 9, the Bible says God told him to go at once to Zarephath. And you see what Elijah did was that he went at once. Let me tell you this about the word of God that comes to you. Whenever the word of God comes to you, do it immediately. Go for it immediately. The more you stay, the more you delay, the more you say, you argue, the more you rationalize on the word of God that has come to you, the more difficult it will be. If the word comes to you, do it immediately. Do it quickly. Do it promptly. Do it fast. Go for it. Don't rationalize. Don't argue. Don't find out, oh, it is not possible. Don't research it. If you are sure it's the word of God, if you are sure God said that to you, go for it. Put everything into it and dive into it. Your head may be screaming and saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? But let your heart say, I'm doing what the word of God says. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Because when you do that, you'll see the results happening for you in the name of Jesus. Let me move quickly and I'll just keep some of the verses. In verse 12, the Bible says, as surely as the Lord God, your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. This woman said, I don't have any raw material for miracles. In this month of July, we have been talking about the God of miracles. And sometimes the reason and the excuse many of us give for God is that, Lord, I don't have a raw material for miracles. Or there is nothing in my hand. And God has called me to tell you that there is something in your hand. There is something in your house. Will somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
So I put in here, I said, miracles are usually closer than you think. Miracles are usually closer than you think. Many of the times they are in your house. Many of the times they are in your pocket. Many of the times they are in your phone. Miracles are closer than you think. So what would I say to that? Don't ever despise what you have. Don't ever despise what you have. Don't ever despise where you are. Don't despise what you have. If you're a business person, God gave you a business idea. Don't despise the idea. Don't even tell yourself another person might have done it. Oh, maybe it's too late. No, don't despise it. Several years ago, I'm sure I've said the story here before. When I was working with Microsoft, I asked the head of, I don't even know what they call it now, Microsoft Live. So this we were in a team. We used to do anti-spam. We used to build engines or software that would catch funny mails and all of that. That's what we used to do then. So I told the head of the whole division, and that's it. The man is a big man. There are so many senior people under him. So I asked him a question. I said, why are you people disturbing yourself with search? That was when Google was really, really coming up. And Google was already a big deal. Google was already a big name. So I asked the guy, I said, I don't know why you people are wasting your time with search. Nobody, I don't use, even me that I'm working here, I don't usually use live search. For what? Google is what everybody uses to search. And the guy told me something that I will never forget. The guy said, look, we are standing close enough to Google that in case Google drops the ball, we'll pick it and run with it. Can I tell somebody, what you are despising, God may be setting you up so that when somebody else drops the ball, you will pick it and run with it. So I have come to encourage you this morning. Don't despise what you have. There is something already in your hand. Some of you, it's a skill. Some of you, you know how to do something small. Don't despise it. Some of you, you can cook. Some of you, you can do makeup for people. So no matter how small that thing is, that miracle is already in a seed form. Every miracle that God does, he usually has a seed around. When Jesus was going to feed 5,000 people, you know God could have rained manna. We've seen it before. He rained manna in the wilderness. But when Jesus was going to feed 5,000 people, in Matthew chapter, where do I have that now? In John chapter 6, when Jesus was going to feed 5,000 people, the Bible makes us understand that Jesus asked them that, what do we do? You know, just to test them. And then Jesus made them to find somebody that had something. It was the thing that that person had that God multiplied. So usually you have to bring what you have for God to multiply it. You have to bring what you have, like the widow, for God to multiply it. You can't hold on to what you have. You can't despise it. You can't bury it. Like the guy in the talent. If you've been in the Sunday school recently, we've been talking about stewardship. The reason why many people are not experiencing any big deal of God is because they are not good stewards. You have not used what I have given you. Some people are saying, God of miracle, God of miracle. And the God of miracle is saying, I have put something in your hand. You have not done anything with it. I will multiply as you do, as you use. There is a law of use. The law of use says, one of the laws of use say that if you don't use it, you can lose it. There are many things that people are not experiencing, not because they were not given, but they didn't use it. They didn't do anything about it. They buried the gift. They buried the talent. They wrote down the dream in the beginning of the year, January 1st. This is what I believe God will do for me. God will do with me. And then they left it there. They didn't do anything about it. If you don't use it, it won't multiply. Most of the multiplication that God does, most of the miracles that God does, He does it when people take action. He does people when people take the first step. Many, many times when God heals somebody, the person has to take the first step. I like the miracle in Acts chapter 3, about the man at the beautiful gate. The Bible said this guy was lame from his mother's womb. But when Peter and John saw him, and they looked on him, and they told him, silver and gold we have not, but such as we have, we give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and work. And they grabbed him, because you see, they know that if he doesn't take an initial action, the miracle will not happen. The miracle will look like it has not happened. There are some people listening to me this morning. God has already done the miracle. You need to take action. Don't despise what you have. Do something with it. Use it. Go as if you know that God has done something. Start preparing for the miracle. Start rehearsing the miracle. Start creating room for the miracle. You are expecting a baby. You can start buying clothes. Amen. Because that baby will come and wear those clothes. In the name of Jesus. You want a job. You can start shopping for the kind of job you want. You can start shopping. So that you have the clothes ready. So that when the job comes, you are ready to enter into the job. So the miracle is not as far as you think. God's miracle is close to you. Don't despise what you have. Anything you put into the hand of God, God can turn into too big. So it is big enough for God to use. Whatever you have now, it may just be an idea. It may just be a thought. It may even be an invention. It may sound stupid and crazy. You may tell people and they would laugh at you. Don't despise it. They may laugh at you. Look for other people that you can tell that will celebrate the gift, that will celebrate what God has told you. Because what God has told you is going to make it happen. If there are people that believe it this morning, they will say a bigger amen. Amen. So God can use what is already existing to bring about a new thing. It was the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37. But God used the dry bones to bring about a great army. So there are existing things, just like in the story of this woman. She had the last meal, so to say, but that was the seed for the miracle. My prayer for you this morning, and my challenge to you this morning, is that God will open your eyes and that you will say, there it is. That is my seed for my miracle. In the name of Jesus, your eyes will see your seed. Your eyes will see your seed. In the name of Jesus. And in verse 16, to round it up this morning, the Bible says, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. I have come to prophesy this morning that you will not run dry. I thought somebody would say a bigger amen. I say you will not run dry. Instead of running dry, you will run over. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Instead of running out, I run over. Can somebody say, instead of running out, I run over.
Find three people. Tell them, I run over. Oh, shakata. Lele kodosia. Lele akanaba. Yekutotulu yabayaba.
Thank you, Father. Finally, this morning, open to Psalm 15 and verse 14. Psalm 15 and verse 14. Psalm 15 and verse 14.
The jar of oil did not finish. It did not finish. The jar of flour was not used up. The jug of oil did not dry up. The jar of oil was not used up. The jug of oil did not run dry.
That may be the only thing somebody needs to continue to say this week. The jar of oil will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run over. Because sometimes when you hear the word of God like this, you need to tell yourself over and over again until you believe it. Because faith comes by hearing, by the word of God. The biggest way you can get faith into you is by you speaking the word of God to yourself. It is not even by a pastor saying it to you. You have to tell yourself. You have to continually tell yourself, the jar of oil, the jar of flour will not be finished, will not be used up, as the Lord of God, as the Lord says. Psalm 115 and verse 14. Thought you were pulling that up for me, sir. Psalm 115 verse 14. Is it coming up? Okay. The Bible says, may the Lord cause you to flourish. Yeah. I thought there are people that believe that this morning. Yeah. May the Lord cause you to flourish. Amen. You see, that word flourish is an agricultural term. When the time of a plant has come, it blossoms. The leaves are green. The fruits will show. May the Lord cause you to flourish. Amen. And he said, not only you, but everything connected to you. May the Lord cause you to flourish. May the Lord cause you to flourish. May the Lord cause you to flourish. May the Lord increase you more and more. You and your children. You and your family. In the name of Jesus. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. And you are going to declare it. And you are going to say it loud and clear. Say it to yourself now. When you get home, say it to yourself. Because you have a Father who is your Father. You have a God who is your God. And he has come to tell me that there it is in your house. The miracle is there. A seed in your house. An idea in your heart. Something in your hand. Something in your mind. Something that you have talked about. Something that you have seen before. But God will use the known to bring the unknown, to bring the new into your life. In the name of Jesus. But you must remember, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not dry up. I want you to say it loud and clear. Say, the jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry. Say, I believe I will not run out. I believe it will not finish. I believe it's my time of increase. I believe I will flourish. Can you tell God that in prayer this morning? Little Rosha, we believe we will flourish. We believe we will rise. In your name, we will rise. 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 We believe it. We believe it. We will flourish. We will increase. We will increase. We and our children. We will increase more and more. We and everyone connected to us. Let all limblo shadabaya. Because we will see it. Because we will see it. Because we will see it. Aleberosha. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You tell God, open my eyes to see. The problem usually is not the provision, it's the sin. The vision. Because you see, provision is a compound word for the vision. If you don't see, if there is no vision, the provision will seem to be lacking because you are not seeing. So the vision is the thing. The vision is the thing. It's for you to see. It's for you to see. When you see that seed, when you see that little thing that God wants to magnify and multiply, the provisions will come. This morning, will you say in the name of Jesus, my eyes are opened this week, this half of 2018, to see in the name of Jesus. Tell God,